Wake Up America, time to stump the experts. Each week at this time, the H.J. Heinz Company, makers of the famous 57 varieties, gives you information, please. A quartet of experts is on hand to answer your questions. Send them to information, please, at 570 Lexington Avenue, New York City. We may edit them a bit, and in case of similarity, you'll have to accept our judgment of who shall be paid. If we use your question, the H.J. Heinz Company will send you $10 in war stamps, plus a set of the 12-volume Britannica Junior Encyclopedia. If we muff the question, you get $57 in war bonds and stamps, plus a 24-volume set of the regular Encyclopedia Britannica. All questions remain our property. Information, please, is presented under the supervision of Dan Golenpohl. And now, our master of ceremonies, book reviewer of the New Yorker magazine, Clifton Fadiman.
Thank you, Mr. Grauer. Ladies and gentlemen, impromptu as ever, Information Please presents tonight our three veterans, John Kieran, Franklin P. Adams, and Oscar Levant, charmingly reinforced by the creator of Mrs. Miniver, Jan Struther. As you know, Mrs. Miniver has been winning practically all the Motion Picture Academy Awards lately.
They and won now, all the Oscars.
Pardon?
Miss Struther won all the Oscars.
Oh, stop plugging yourself, Mr. Levant. First question comes from Jane Locker of Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania. What is each of the following? Well, we'll start with a word which is quite new to me, sheepshank. Sheepshank. But apparently not new to Miss Struther.
It's a kind of knot which you use when you want to shorten a line or rope without cutting it. So you just shorten it temporarily like a light hanging thing.
That is correct. Mr. Adam, did you know that?
Never heard of it.
Does your admiration for Miss Struther go up by leaps and bounds?
Couldn't be. It was
high before. How'd you happen to know that, Miss Struther?
Because I was a very good boy, girl guide once.
I'm glad you got yourself straight. Now, we've had sheepshank. How about shank's mare? What does shank's mare mean, Mr. Kieran?
Shank's mare means your pedal extremities, your feet and legs.
Yes.
For walking purposes.
Yes, quite right. And we've had shank's mare. We'll now have mare's nest. What's a mare's nest? Mare's nest? Miss Struther.
Well, it's a sort of phony false alarm. I mean, somebody spreads a rumor and then it turns out to be
that's
nothing
quite right
at all.
That's yes, Mr. Levant?
It isn't L.B. Mayer's bank account, is it?
No. Yes, a discovery that seems important at first and turns out to be a fraud or hoax, which would certainly not be Mr. Mayer's bank account.
It isn't bad.
No. That gives us 3 out of 3. How about this one from Mrs. Alger Powell of Brookfield, Massachusetts? Can you quote for us at least 3 lines of poetry that mention different colors or shades of hair? Mr. Levant.
It takes a red-headed woman to make a fool of me.
Oh, no, it doesn't. but that is a... That's perfectly right, Mr. Levant. Very good.
Can it be a song?
Yes, it was.
Well, the song begins, Elizabeth in New Jersey has red hair.
Never heard of it. Mr. Kieran?
You just have to have the color?
And the reference to the hair, too.
Oh.
I got one.
Miss Struther?
The junior with the light brown hair.
Yes. Who wrote that?
Stephen C. Foster.
Good for you. And Mr. Levant?
You're growing old, Father White, the young man said. Let's say it'd take me an hour to do this one. Your head's becoming white.
That's approximately it. Your old father, William, the young man, said...
Then he stands
and
on his head.
Your hair has become very white.
Mr. You incessantly Kieran? Stand on your head. Do you think that's right?
That's the one. The opening of The Deserted Village has a good one, Mr. Kieran.
Sweet Auburn?
Yes, loveliest village of the plain, sure. I'd give it 4 or 5. How about this one from E.F. Lafferty of Livermore, California? Name the American whose job corresponds to the one held by each of these Britishers. Oliver Littleton holds a job in Great Britain, and who holds the corresponding job in our country? Mr. Levant.
Donald Nelson.
That's quite right.
Yeah. Red hair, huh?
you got me there. Donald Nelson, head of our war production.
Production,
board.
Yeah.
Oliver Littleton has red hair.
Has he really?
Yes.
So has Brendan Bracken. Brendan Bracken has red hair.
Well, I'm trying to get on with this question, not the last one. Oliver Littleton, of course, what is his title in England?
Minister of Production.
Minister of Production, quite right. Now, who holds the job in our country corresponding to that held by Arthur Travers Harris in Great Britain?
Mr. Levant again.
Arnold.
Good
Major
work.
General Arnold.
That's quite right. What are the titles of each of these?
The titular head of the air.
Commander of the U.S. Army Air Forces, and Harris is Air Marshal in mm-hmm. charge of the Air Forces of Great Britain. How about Ernest Bevin? Ernest Bevin. Mr. Levant's taking...
Francis Perkins.
Francis Perkins?
Yes, despite what you're going to say, it's Francis Perkins. She's correspondent to Minister of Labor.
You can create your own dialogue. That's quite right. Secretary of Labor, or who else in our country, Mr. Levant, might do some of the work that Mr. Bevin does, Mr. Kieran?
Mr. McNutt.
Yes, the head of the War Manpower Commission. That's quite right. Ernest Bevin is Minister of Labor and National Service in Great Britain. We haven't had a miss so far, Mr. Struther and gentlemen. Let's see if I can catch you on this one from Mrs. Richard Garrett of York, Pennsylvania. Which ration stamps would each of these characters of fiction be most concerned about? I presume that you've all looked into your ration books. Cinderella, what stamp would she be most concerned about, Miss Struther?
Number 17.
Why?
Shoes.
Only half of 17. She only needs one shoe.
That's right. 17 over 2. That's
How about
right.
the vegetable?
What vegetable? Pumpkins?
Pumpkin.
Yeah. They aren't rationed, are they? Pumpkins
rationed? No, not fresh vegetables.
No, I don't think so. No,
they don't even
yet.
Can pumpkins.
Yes, they do.
She needed mice, too, for the coach, and that's meat.
They're not rationed.
Meat?
Meat? Mice meat? Oh, we're not down to that yet. No, we're not down to that. Now, a character named Bobo, B-O-B-O, would be interested in what ration stamp?
Bobo Newsom, the pitcher?
No, I hadn't thought of that, but what stamp would he be interested in?
Well, I don't want to go too far on him. He likes food that's not too solid sometimes.
Miss Struther?
No, I got it wrong. I thought it was Bodo out of Watch on the Rhine.
No, Bobo is a character in Charles Lamb's essay, A Dissertation on Roast Pig. He's the Chinaman who's the hero of the story. And Mr. Kieran, what stamp would he be most concerned about?
Well, the meat stamp, pork.
Yes, and which stamp is that? You should know.
No, I don't.
They don't have that stamp yet.
I'm still eating grass.
None of you apparently are...
That stamp won't be assigned till March 29th, 1201.
Yes. Thanks for the optimistic note. It's the red stamp in Book 2. The red stamp in Book 2. That's the one that Bobo would be interested in. We got that one wrong. Now, how about Popeye? What stamp would he be interested in, Mr. Levant?
Well, spinach. I don't know what stamp
that is. Oh, you should.
It's 14 points.
Canned spinaches?
Oh, I don't. I think so.
Might be. Mr. Kieran, what stamp
would that be? Green spinach, fresh spinach is not rationed yet.
Well, he takes spinach out of a can.
That's right. He eats the can and throws the spinach
Why,
away.
He's a cad.
Why, what luck.
That's a lot of foolishness.
But we have to get the stamp. The actual stamp, gentlemen, would be the blue stamp in ration book number 2.
Let him eat cake.
How about, I think that sends $57 in war bonds and stamps to Mrs. Garrett. And a set of the Britannica, courtesy of the H.J. Hines Company, and sends us on to a question from Jack Harwood of West Palm Beach, Florida. This is going to stop us. We are asked, you are asked, thank heaven, to sing a line or two from three different songs which mention Johnny in the title. Now, this means singing, Mr. Adams.
Singing?
Mr. Adams?
Johnny, get your gun, your sword, your pistol.
That's good.
That's very good. I like the accompaniment. And Mr. Levant?
Oh, Johnny, how you can love.
That's a very good one. That gives us two Johnnies, Miss Struther.
I would give them all for my handsome, winsome Johnny.
I never heard that. That's very pretty.
Cute.
An English folk song?
No, Irish, I think.
Irish, Mr. Kieran?
When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah.
That's a very good one, yes. Have another one?
Yeah, Johnny One Note.
Johnny One Note, and we've had it.
Note.
Very good.
Yeah, you've had that.
And now, here's our Hines reporter, Ben Grauer, to tell you about America's latest Back to the Land movement.
A lot of you city, town, and suburban dwellers who've never even handled a hoe are probably beginning to think about that victory garden you're going to plant. For America needs 20 million gardens this year. And by growing and home canning your own vegetables, you can send more food to our fighters and allies, save metals and transportation, and what's more, you can make sure that your family will get plenty of nutritious food. The Heinz agricultural experts, who have had a lot of experience raising prize vegetables for Heinz 57 varieties, suggest that you select your garden plot right now. You can write to your state agricultural college or the United States Department of Agriculture for advice on soil, seeds, planting, and other helps. And clip the Victory Garden articles and charts that so many of the current magazines are now featuring. And if you haven't any backyard, contact your city department of parks for information about school lots and community gardens. Plan now to grow the vegetables that will keep your family fit this summer and give you a good store of home canned foods for winter needs.
Thank you, Mr. Grauer. Now a question from Frank Sherman of Detroit. I'm going to give you the opening lines of three different poems, and I want you to quote the closing lines. That's a rather tough one. Here's the opening line. Tell me not, sweet, I am unkind. How does the poem end? Mr. Curran.
I could not love thee, dear, so much, loved I not honor more.
It's a bullseye, Mr. Curran. What's the poem?
To Locasta upon going to the wars.
And who wrote it?
That was Colonel Lovelace, wasn't it?
Yes. I didn't, he was a colonel. I'd forgotten that.
Yes, he fought in the Cavalier War.
That's right. And now, if I give you the opening line, give me the closing ones again. Why so pale and wan, fond lover? Miss Strother?
Where no birds sing.
No.
That's
an odd association
one.
Of ideas.
Oh, that's a mix-up.
Mr. Curran?
I think it ends, the devil taker.
Yes,
devil.
It does.
The devil taker, that's right.
That's right. And what are the two lines preceding it?
Gosh, that's a fairly long poem.
If of herself she will not love, nothing can make her, the devil taker. And who wrote it? Mr. Adams?
Suckling.
Suckling is right. And now here, we got that one. Yes, we got that one right. Now how about this one? It was a summer evening. How does that end? Mr. Adams.
It was a famous victory.
That's right. And what's the poem called, Mr. Adams?
I think the Battle of Blenheim.
That's quite right. Who wrote it?
Southey.
Southey. Why, that I cannot tell, said he, but 'twas a famous victory. I guess the youngsters still learn that in school. Don't they, Mr. Curran, wouldn't you say? We used to have to memorize
yes,
it.
Yes, they do.
Kids in school. How about this one from Herb Stern of Hollywood? With what famous horn player is each of these tunes and styles of playing associated? Now, we're going to have three of these. Let's have the first. Miss Strother, I shouldn't expect you to know.
It might be Louis Armstrong.
No, I don't think.
Mr. Levant?
I think it was Bix Beiderbecke or Bunny Bergen. I think Bix.
Bix Beiderbecke is right, yes.
I'm coming, Virginia.
That's right, I'm coming, Virginia. That's quite. It's, Miss Strother, I shouldn't expect you to be able to distinguish among American swing horn players.
Oh, I like swing music.
I'll see if you can get the next one, then. Strother,
that's Louis Armstrong.
Yes, that's right. Very good, Miss Strother.
Hot Lips.
That is Louis Armstrong, quite right.
That's not Hot Lips.
What is it?
Pardon?
That's Hot Lips Page, but Louis Armstrong was called Hot Lips too, wasn't he?
Not by me. He didn't call me Hot Lips either. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant the name of the song.
What was the name of the song?
I mean, when
I think
it's
something Sleepy Time South.
Yes, when a Sleepy Time Down South. And now the third and last. Mr. Levant?
Cherry Berry Bee, that's Grace Moore. That's a funny twist. She sings it. I don't know.
Yes, and who plays the horn?
On that?
On that.
I was going to say...
Say it.
Maybe he plays it. He's a good he's a wonderful trumpet player, this boy.
How about a guess, Miss Strother?
Hacker?
No.
Him?
Miss Strother? Any idea?
Is that Bunny?
Harry James.
Oh.
You're
Harry.
Right. Gee, I even paid to hear him once.
Harry James. Well, I think that sends $57 in war bonds.
I'll know that. That's my boy's hero.
And a set of the Britannica. Well, we got one of those. How about this one from Mrs. Ernestine Ingeman of Wrightstown, Pennsylvania? Identify each of these strange objects of legend. Now, the first is, or was, part woman, part bird. A legendary creature.
Sounds like an old girl of mine.
Sounds more like Lily Pons. Mr. Levant?
The harpies.
Mr. Curran?
The harpies.
The harpies, yes. Part woman and part bird. Where do you find the harpies, Mr. Curran?
Oh, you find them in the Odyssey, don't you?
In the burlesque show.
I think...
well, anyway, you'll find them in Bullfinch and Galies.
Yes,
Greek
you will.
Legends.
It seems to me they're in Virgil. I may be mistaken, but I think they're in the Aeneid. How about part man, part horse? And contemporaries, Mr. Levant, please.
Fantasia, is that contemporary?
Who?
Fantasia. They're in there in the Beethoven Pastoral Symphony.
That's right. But yeah. What are the creatures called?
Centaurs.
Centaurs, Mr. Yeah. Adams. That's quite right. Centaurs, part man, part horse. Which is the part is the man, Mr. Adams?
Part's part the Kusky, too. And, I mean the orchestra.
How are they arranged, the centaurs?
I think the face is the man.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
They have sort of two bodies. I mean...
They have just one. I think the man comes first and the horse follows.
There's the horse's body, and then from the waist up, it's a man with another body and a head on top.
I defer to your technical knowledge, Mr. Strada.
That's mighty handy with that horse meat stuff.
How about this? Part lion, part eagle. Miss Strada.
Griffin.
Griffin is right, yes. And it's used in what science?
It's a shoe polish, Griffin shoe polish.
What science? Architecture.
No, not so much architecture, Miss Strother.
Heraldry.
In heraldry, yes. The griffin, part lion, part eagle, is now being used as a symbol of Anglo-American unity, as a matter of fact, Miss Strother.
Yes, they guarded a precious treasure that the Arimaspians were trying to pinch.
Where's that from?
Well, they just did.
Really?
A long time back, yeah.
Had no idea.
The Arimaspians were a savage northern race.
Talk to Kieran. This is new to him. Well, that gives us 3 out of 3. How about this one from Rose Dahl of South Shaftesbury, Vermont? Miss Dahl, who comes from Vermont, very naturally sends us a question about statues. Vermont is the place where the marble comes from, doesn't it, Mr. Kieran?
Yes, some very good marble comes from.
How about this one? Where in literature do you find a statue that was the cause of 5 thieves being murdered? This really is a tough one.
Is that the Sphinx?
No.
I guessed.
So it seems. Mm-hmm. 5 thieves were murdered as the...
Oh.
Mr. Levant.
The Maltese Falcon?
No, I don't think so.
Well, there are four in there, at least, I can tell you. Peter Lorre's one.
And Sydney Greenstreet is big enough for two, so maybe...
You're just trying to win the encyclopedias away from me. No, it's in A Night at an Inn by Lord Dunsany, a play in which the idol's eye is stolen, and as a result... the high priest in whose care the idol is murders, kills 5 thieves. That's one wrong. Where is there a statue that talked back to his murderer?
That's a Bob Hope picture, I'm sure.
It's an idea for him. Yeah. Could use one. Mr. Adams?
Oh, I don't know. Pygmalion.
Well, you just snatched that out of the air, didn't you?
No, I remember that.
Well,
is that right?
No. No, it's in Don Giovanni, the story of Don Giovanni. Remember that the commendatore in the opera is killed by Don Giovanni and the statue later talks back to him. Remember that now, Mr.
Opera
Kieran?
Doesn't count. They're all statues. Well, I don't mean that.
Well, that gives us 2 statues wrong. How about this one? A statue that ran blood.
What?
A statue that ran blood. Mr. Kieran.
That's in Julius Caesar.
It is indeed.
Was it Pompey's statue or somebody's statue ran blood?
It was the statue that Calpurnia dreamed of, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
That's right.
She dreamt tonight she saw my statue, which like a fountain with 100 spouts did run pure blood. Well, that gives us only 1 out of 3 and sends $57 in war bonds and stamps to Miss Dahl and a set of the Britannica. How about this one from Patricia Duffy of New York? Can you give us 3 shrubs or vines, the popular names of which indicate some form of movement? For example, trailing arbutus. Now, how about 3 more, Mr. Kieran?
Climbing rose.
Very good. Yes.
Ah.
Miss Strother?
Scarlet runner.
Scarlet runner. That sounds reasonable.
Is that all
Mr.
Right?
Kieran, is that right?
Yes. Scarlet
You'll have to check runner. Me on this. Mr. Adams?
Rambler rose.
Rambler Rose, yes.
Poison Ivy. Well, you run from that.
Mr. Kieran?
Virginia Creeper.
Virginia Creeper, sure.
Morning Glory, that winds itself. It used to grow on my finger in the mornings.
As a matter of fact, Mr. Levant, there is such a thing as climbing ivy, isn't there, Mr. Kieran?
Well, most ivy.
All ivy.
All ivy climbs, yes, ivy. Sure. Well, that gives us 3 shrubs or vines. And now, here's our Heinz reporter, Mr. Grauer, with a few facts on the tomato situation.
As you know, tomatoes are a grand source of vitamins A and C. And that's one of the reasons our fighting men need so many. This year, our armed forces and allies will get half of the total output of ketchup and a large percentage of other tomato products. Now, filling such a big order and still supplying you at home with plenty of healthful tomato products means just one thing. America will have to grow and pack a record crop of tomatoes. We at Heinz will do everything in our power to process an adequate crop of those famous Heinz Aristocrat tomatoes. Raising tomatoes is an old story with us because we've been at it for 50 years, breeding and crossbreeding pedigreed seedlings, tending them carefully under glass until they're husky enough for transplanting to the fields. There, under the watchful eye of selected farmers and Heinz agricultural experts, they're reared to plump, sun-mellowed perfection. You can plainly see why these tomatoes have become known everywhere as Heinz Aristocrats and why they give such rich flavor to Heinz tomato ketchup, chili sauce, and the new Heinz condensed cream of tomato soup.
Thank you, Mr. Grauer. And thank you also for saying tomato. Miss Struther, does anyone say tomato?
Well, when I first came over here, I said tomato, and then I thought it would be sort of more matey-like if I said tomato.
Yes, more tomatey-like, as a matter.
Oh, gosh.
How about this one from Mrs. Harry Landauer of West Allis, Wisconsin? What famous leader was killed or captured in each of these places? Now, the first place was Hastings. What leader was killed, Mr. Kieran?
Harold, the King of England and the Anglo-Saxons.
Quite
killed
right.
By William the Conqueror.
Yes, and the date?
1066 and all that.
Right. By the way, on my card, the somewhat eccentric stenographer has written 1588. I don't know why. It says 1588.
I can give you that one.
1066 is right.
Oh, Mr. That's an Ivanhoe. My grandsire drew a good bow at Hastings, the foul fiend on thy grandsire and all his generation.
Good heavens, Mr. Allen.
Ivanhoe.
Mr.
Can I just ask you something? Was that Harold Hardrada?
Yes, that's the fellow.
Hardrada. Yes, that
was his last name. Mr. Kira?
Well, 1588 is easy. Have you got a question?
No,
that?
I haven't. No, I just got the date down here on my card just to confuse everybody.
That's the Armada.
Sure it is.
Incidentally, 1066, the phone number with Plaza 3 of the LSA Hotel.
Thanks very much. How about this one? What famous leader was killed or captured at Stalingrad? Mr. Levant.
Paulus. He was captured.
Good enough. Who is Paulus?
He was he is a high-ranking commanding officer of that particular army. He's now in the hands of the Russians.
Yes, and a good thing, too. Field Marshal Friedrich von Paulus. That's quite right. Who was the victor of that battle? Does anyone remember the name of the Russian general?
Golikov? No.
No.
Timoshenko? No.
No.
Levant? No.
Shratov? No.
Shaposhnikov? No.
Voroshilov, was it?
No, it was Yeremenko. Yeremenko.
Well, it had to be one of them.
Andrei Ivanovich Yeremenko, and I hope Gregory Radov is listening. How about this one from what famous leader was killed in St. Joseph, Missouri? St. Joseph, Missouri, Mr. Adams.
Jesse James.
Good enough. That's right. Yeah. I think that's a rather tough one. Yeah. Would you guess the year, Mr. Adams?
1857.
Later.
How much later?
Well, Henry Fonda wasn't old when he got it.
1872.
1882. It doesn't matter very much. Jesse James was killed. Mr. Levant, is St. Joseph, is that the place where they like Jack Benny?
St. Joe Moe it is.
Is that the same place?
Missouri, yeah.
Yes. Mr.
From Memphis to St. Joe. I was going to say he was the man who robbed the Glendale train, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Right enough. Now that gives us 3 out of 3. How about this one?
Shot
Mr.
Howard.
No, he wasn't. Mr. Howard was the... Right.
Don't fight, don't
Jesse
fight.
James,
and laid poor
else's.
Jesse in his grave.
Dirty little coward that shot Mr. Howard.
Are you with me, Miss Struther? Thank you. And how about this one from Mrs. Alice Daubert of Buffalo? Can you complete the quotation? Well, I have 3 here, and all of them mention feet. I want you to complete the quotation. Feet beneath her petticoat. Miss Struther.
Like little mice popped or ran in...
Stole.
Stole in
That's
and
right.
out. It's a ballad upon a wedding, and it's by... Mr. Kieran will be angry.
Mr.
John Suckling.
Yes, our old friend John Suckling. The feet beneath a petticoat like little mice stole in and out as if they feared the light. Very cute. How about this one? Hadn't any feet.
Pardon?
What?
What?
Sudden courtesy on this program is a surprise to me. Mr. Kieran?
Their shoes were clean and neat, and that was very odd because they hadn't any feet.
That's perfect, Mr. Kieran. What's it from?
That's from the Walrus and the Carpenter.
Right. From
Alice in Wonderland.
How about this one? Reluctant feet. Reluctant feet. Mr. Adams?
Standing with.
That's the fellow, yeah. Can you give us the two or three lines?
Maiden with the dark brown eyes, something like that.
Oh, that's way up the top of the poem.
Flat and reluctant.
Standing with reluctant feet where the brook and river meet.
That's you one. That's very good.
Maidenhood by H.W. Longfellow.
Yes. What is the name of the poem?
Maidenhood.
Maidenhood, quite right. That gives us 3 feet out of three. How about this one from Vivian Schaefer of Chicago? Who or what put a stop to the quarrels of these people? There's a famous quarrel between Achilles and Agamemnon. What stopped it? Mr. Kieran.
You mean eventually what brought Achilles out of his tent?
That's right.
His friend Patroclus put on Achilles' armor and went forth and was killed therein, whereupon Achilles forgot about Agamemnon and came out to avenge the death of his pal.
Yes. Who was it that killed Patroclus?
Hector.
Hector, yes. Can you find this story, Mr. Kieran?
Bullfinch.
In the Iliad.
Yes, yeah, so Mr. Levant has just learned that you can find all these things in Bullfinch.
Well, you can also tell you can get it for a dollar and a quarter, even when you were a kid.
How about this? Who put a stop to the quarrel of Quirt and Flag? Quirt and Flag.
A girl.
Who?
Oh, she provoked it. A new campaign.
Who is that?
Quirt and Flag are in Price Glory.
Yes, that's the one. I had to forget. Well, what caused the quarrel to stop?
The girl.
No, the girl didn't cause the quarrel to stop. The girl caused the quarrel to start. You might have guessed that.
I said that before.
But what caused the quarrel to stop?
Third act curtain. They had to go out and said,
wait for baby.
Baby.
Well, they had to go to the front.
I said a war before.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
I covered everything.
I'm awfully sorry. I'm very inattentive this evening, Mr. Levant. How about this one? A quarrel between Tweedledum and Tweedledee was stopped in what way? Mr. Kieran?
A crow came along.
That's
a
right.
Tremendous crow, and they thought it was a thunderstorm or something.
That's right. That's quite right. Now, that gives us 3 out of 3. How about this one? From Lucia Russell of Greenfield, Massachusetts. Identify the man or group who did not reach their destination and tell where they landed. Now, this chap set out for the West Indies.
Columbus.
Columbus is right, Mr.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Mm-hmm. And he wound up in Ohio.
Landed where? Mr. Kieran?
He set out for the Indies.
Set out for the Indies, and he landed exactly where?
Right.
San Salvador.
Landed in San Salvador. That's right. And how about this one? They set out for the Virginia colony and landed where?
In North Carolina.
No.
Sir John Raleigh.
No. Mr. Adams?
The Hudson River.
No.
No, that was the Plymouth. That was the Mayflower.
Yes, that's right. It was the Pilgrims who landed in Plymouth.
Landed on the stern and rock-bound coast.
That's the one, yes. I think we ought to call that wrong. We should have gotten that right at the beginning. Now, how about this? Identify the group who set out for Lae, L-A-E. Mr. Levant.
The 22 ships that General Kenny or General MacArthur's Air Force demolished.
Good. That's exactly right. The Japs lost 22 ships and how many men about?
15,000 estimated.
That's right, in the Bismarck Sea. Well, that gives us 2 out of 3. I think that's all we'll have time for. The H.J. Hines Company tonight has paid out $171 in war bonds and stamps and 3 sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Thank you for joining us this evening, Miss Strother. Next week, Mr. Kieran and Mr. Adams will join forces with our old friend, the famous novelist, Christopher Morley, and as an extra special attraction, one of the world's greatest writers, the Nobel Prize winner, Sinclair Lewis, whose new novel, Gideon Planish, will be published shortly. Remember, send your questions and the correct answers to Information, Please, 570 Lexington Avenue, New York City. And now, our Hines reporter, Ben Grauer.
You can get your Victory Garden off to a good start by writing to the United States Department of Agriculture, Washington, D.C., for the helpful booklet number 483. Don't forget, number 483. And now, H.J. Hines Company, makers of the famous 57 varieties, wishes you good night and good health, and invites you to listen to the experts again next week at this same time.
This program came to you from New York.